tell people, you know, hey, before you get surgery, are you mentally prepared? Are you also prepared to eat healthy? Are you also prepared to wear this spa hop for 6 months? Are you prepared for that? Because if you're not prepared for that, I don't want you wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be wasting your money. And I also don't want you to be in deeper depression just in case you don't like your results.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get real answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. My name is Aquia Robinson, and I'm a makeup artist, beauty educator, and the creator of Friends in Beauty. I created Friends in Beauty to support like-minded creatives, just like you, on their quest to connect, network, and build genuine relationships within the beauty community. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to success and longevity in the beauty industry, and most importantly, have fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. If you are a friend in beauty, I welcome you to join the Friends in Beauty Facebook community. If you're looking for a community of like-minded, ambitious friends in beauty to virtually connect with, network, and share resources, then click the link down below in the show description to join us in the Facebook community, and I'll be there to welcome you with open arms. Also, let's get social. Follow Friends in Beauty on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty. Additionally, the Friends in Beauty podcast is available on several platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And whatever platform you are listening from right now, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning into the Friends in Beauty podcast. I appreciate it more than you know. And I would love it even further if you took the time to leave a 5-star rating, a review, a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe, a something to let me know how you feel about the Friends in Beauty podcast. Additionally, Friends in Beauty is now on Patreon. So for as little as $3 a month, you can support the Friends in Beauty podcast. And there are also several tiers available that unlock Patreon exclusive content just for you, like behind the scene content of the Friends in Beauty podcast, bonus interview clips, a monthly Ask Me Anything, discounts, and so much more. So if that's something that you're interested in, I'll leave the link down below in the show description for that as well. Also, if you'd like to stay connected even further, join the Friends in Beauty mailing list tribe. They are the first to know about all things Friends in Beauty, and I send out different resources and tips throughout the week. So if that's something that you're interested in, join us over there. And last but not least, listen up. The most important thing is to share the Friends in Beauty podcast with your other friends in beauty, your family, your friends, anybody that you think could benefit from the information that is being shared. Share a way to help me grow the Friends in Beauty community. Now, on this episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I welcome Crystal Wilson to the Friends in Beauty guest chair. Crystal became a certified esthetician and massage therapist after fighting depression while working in corporate America. She later grew a passion for beauty entrepreneurship, creating her own business, the Lux Beauty and Body Studio and Training Academy, providing over 1,000 certifications to beauty industry entrepreneurs. She has also worked with clients of Mia Aesthetics and Goals Plastic Surgery, some of the prominent facilities in Miami and Atlanta. With her experience working and creating an honorable reputation in the surgical community, Crystal has made it a goal to be transparent and authentic with her services, revealing the truth about post-operative surgical care. With the glorification of plastic surgery, most people aren't aware of the toll it can take on their bodies until after surgery. The pre- and post-operative period is a critical time for patients to be prepared. As Crystal points out, post-operative surgical care is more important than the actual surgery because if you don't take care of your body after surgery, you will get infections. Being properly informed and guided can help reduce the risk of complications and support the surgical recovery process. I had such a fun time chatting with Crystal. I'm so intrigued by the world of plastic surgery, so I had tons of questions to ask her. In this interview, Crystal shares how she transitioned from a career in finance to the beauty industry, the different pre-op and post-operative services that she provides, how to mentally prepare yourself for surgery, the importance of post-operative surgical care, what you should look for in post-op care, how she's educating other practitioners and providing them with valuable resources with her Columbia trips, and so much more. I learned so much from Crystal during this interview. If you or someone that you know are considering plastic surgery, then definitely send them this chat to listen to so they can be prepared. Let's go ahead and jump into this conversation with Crystal. And if you prefer to watch our beautiful faces, then tune in on YouTube. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Friends and Beauty Podcast, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It is a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you because I am very intrigued by your industry. I don't know anybody personally that, you know, has had surgery or like gets body contouring and stuff done on a regular basis. So I have like so many questions for you. Like,
okay,
it's ridiculous. But before we start, we're going to start off with some icebreakers just to get us warmed up. And so the Friends and Beauty audience can get to know you outside of what you do professionally. So the first one, just give us three random facts.
Okay. Three random facts. Okay. Well, I love to travel. I love to travel the world. I am a mom and I love to shop. I love to spend money. That's facts.
Okay. Do you have any pet peeves? Anything that just ticks you off?
Oh, it ticks me off. I feel like don't just scroll on Instagram. If you're not making money or not being inspired, don't scroll on Instagram. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like in this beauty industry, content is currency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're not maximizing your potential or you're not serving your community or you're not inspiring others, it ticks me off because it's just like, don't be in it for yourself because this industry is always changing. It's always new things. It's a $1 billion industry. So That's my pet peeve. Keep the information to yourself and just not maximizing your potential. I cannot stand that.
Yes, those information hoarders, you got to share it with the world.
I don't like that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have these things called pod decks and they have really crazy questions, sometimes cool questions. And then one is a would you rather and a what the heck? Which one do you want?
Oh, give me the green deck.
The green one. Okay.
Give me green.
Okay, green for money.
Green for money, girl.
Okay, this one says, which body part do you wish you could detach and why?
Which body part? I wish I could detach, I guess, I need my feet to walk, but I would say my feet because I mean, I'm always working, so they hurt. So let's attach those.
Okay, that's fun. It reminds me of like those dolls that you can like pop the parts in.
Yeah. If I could just, you know, if I could float through the air and not have to walk, then that would be great.
I love that. That's so funny. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
They say that I'm a good listener. I listen to people. I try to hear people out. I try to be very empathetic when people are talking to me. And I just like to hear what they have to say. Some people will talk over somebody or somebody. Some people you could tell that they're not listening, but people say I'm a really good listener.
Okay. I like that. And since you like to travel, what are like your top three places that you travel to that you just love?
Oh, I love Jamaica. Absolutely love Jamaica. It's fun. I love Columbia because I teach classes over there and I have a whole team over there. So I love Columbia. I love the people. They're amazing, amazing. And then, you know what? I love Mexico because I actually have a property that's over there. Mm-hmm. So I love Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family's from Jamaica. So that's like by default. I just love Jamaica.
I love Jamaica.
And then I went to Mexico. I think I went to Mexico last year for the first time. And I absolutely loved it. I was like, it was not what I expected. I'll just say that. It wasn't what I expected. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And the last one, if you weren't the CEO of Luxby Studio and the originator of the Columbia trips, okay, what else could you see yourself doing?
I could see myself probably owning a store. I definitely would want to do that. And maybe I used to work in finance, so no, I would have to say owning a store or being a travel agent. I could be a travel agent. Okay. I could do that.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. What were you doing in finance?
Girl, I was a banker.
Okay.
Anchor. And then I also used to work at a place called Everest. I don't know if you remember, and they'll be like, why are you sitting on the couch all the time? You need to get up. I worked there as a financial representative. So, yeah, girl, I got tired of counting other people's money.
I know what you mean. I used to be a teller.
Oh, so you know.
Yeah, I know. And somebody, I went to a budget to like rent a car the other day, but it used to be a bank. So it just bought like flashbacks. I saw like the vault and everything. And I was telling my friend, oh yeah, I used to work at a bank. And he was like, really? I was like, I would never do it again. Like I would never.
Never. I used to get cussed out because people overdraft their account. How do that work? How does that work? But it's whatever.
Yeah, that and just being in charge of so much money. Like, if anything happens, it's automatically all eyes on you. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, yeah, I don't want to touch all that money. Yeah.
It gave me anxieties.
Definitely a lot. How did you get your start in the beauty industry? What made you transition out of finance?
Well, I took a mink lash class in 2014. I took the class because I was just like, you know, I'm watching people on Instagram. I'm like, dang, I need to try something new. So I took the lash class. And from the lash class, I was like, okay, I learned how to do lashes, but now should I be, licensed? Should I be licensed in this? So I went to aesthetic school, and then it's just been on ever since. I went to aesthetic school. I'm an esthetician. I went to massage school. I'm a massage therapist. And it just, it went from there. Just that one class started my business.
Wow. So prior to that, did you have any interest in beauty?
I had it. Like, I liked, you know, wear lashes and makeup and things like that. I always getting dressed up, getting cute, but it was never like, oh, I need to do this, because I just wanted to mainly shop. So it was like, no, beauty. But then when I got into it, I was like, oh my God, where have I been?
Yeah,
where have I been? Because beauty to me, it's just so many things you can learn. One minute you could be doing body contour, the next minute you could be doing waxing, the next minute you could be doing makeup. Like, it's so many things. And I think it's it is an industry where it is males and females, but it's a lot of women. It's a lot of women. It's like a lot of women in there. It's a lot of women empowerment. So I love beauty. I love it. I'm never not being in a beauty.
I love that. So when you finished massage school and aesthetics, how did you merge the two originally?
So I merged it. Well, I went to massage school because in aesthetic school, we learn the body from the outside in because we're dealing with the skin. And so, I took a body contouring class. And even though we learn about the body in aesthetic school, I was like, I want to go in more detail with this. So then I went to massage school and I was able to bring that together when I have my post-op clients who have surgery or my weight loss clients who want body contouring. I'm able to know, you know, where the muscles are, everything that I need to do to give them better results. So I was able to merge it. And that's what I tell people. You can merge it together, or you can take one or the other. It doesn't matter, because I don't want to be just a massage therapist or just in aesthetics. I want to come where I could just merge them together to make my money. So
yeah, I love that. Were you marketing for people as far as post-op, or they just automatically knew that they needed to come to a massage therapist for certain things?
I was marketing more to the I was marketing to surgery clinics. I was marketing surgery pages. You know, you go on Facebook, it's a surgery page. I was marketing to those people, and then people just start gravitating to my business, to my page. Mm-hmm. And that was how I was able to get clients. And I also love referrals. People forget about referrals, but referrals make you money.
Mm-hmm.
Referrals make you money. So it helped my business.
Yeah. I'm so curious because my mom is a massage therapist, but I don't think I ever like thought about like post-op stuff. Are there different techniques that are involved as far as doing post-op aside from doing like traditional like Swedish massage, deep tissue and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's completely different because when you're dealing with like deep tissue and things like that, you're using more pressure. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with a post-op client, they have just come from surgery. So your pressure is different. You really have to work with the lymphatic system because they have this fluid, you know, that's coming out of these incisions. So it's a different technique when you do post-op from just a regular massage. But with the post-op, you can either be a concierge, so you could travel to people's home, or you can have a facility. Mm-hmm. So it kind of works the same thing. You know, good things to do. She should try it.
Okay. Let's talk about this body contouring. Like, how does that work? How does it work?
So we use different machines to basically contour the body. So to snatch the waist, to help cellulite, you know, to diminish cellulite. We use it to contour the body after you've had surgery to bring in that waist. We do a lot of different things. We can do it on your legs, your arms. We can do it manually with our hands. We can use wood therapy tools. I use Colombian tools to actually, you know, manipulate the fat and all of that. Or you can use a machine. So it's a big a big industry. We use sauna blankets. I mean, it's just so much with body contour. I love it. It is non-invasive though, so we are not cutting anybody. We are not sticking them with anything. We are just using our machines and our hands and our products.
Wow. So what does the machine do? Like warm up the area to push the stuff around?
Yep. So what the machines do is they basically like our cativation machine, basically what it does is it gets a fat cell. In a simpler term, it can get the fat cell and it can make it burst with the ultrasound waves to go through the lymphatic system.
Okay.
So when you're urinating, you're basically urinating out toxins and things like that. And then we have skin tightening, radio frequency skin tightening, which helps tighten the skin. So if the skin has lost elasticity or anything like that, we can help tighten it. If someone had a baby, we can help tighten the skin. Laser lipo basically targets and melts fat. So we have these paddles that are about that big and you put it on the skin and it's just targeting fat for you. It's a lot.
I love it. How often do people have to come back to maintain their results?
They can come once a week. Sometimes you can come 72 hours. It just depends on the person's work schedule. But you do need to come frequently when you get these services because it's non-invasive. You do need to drink your water. You do need to eat healthy. You do need to exercise because this isn't lipo or anything. You gotta help me help you. Exactly. So yeah, you gotta help me.
Right. How long does it normally last though, once they come in for a service?
How long does the results last or how long does the session last?
The results.
The results. So the results can be permanent, but it depends on the person. Wow. So I tell people that with body contouring, this is a lifestyle change. You have to have a lifestyle change. You have to want to eat better. You have to want to be more healthy in order to get these services. You got to get your BMIs down. Like, it's a lot that goes into it than just service. So.
Right. What kind of training is involved with doing body contouring? Is there any prerequisites that somebody should have before like jumping into it?
You should want to be licensed. You should want to be an esthetician, a massage therapist, a nurse. There are women that get into the industry that just want to have a business and have people work for them, which you can do that. Mm-hmm. But I always encourage people, if you are not an esthetician or a massage therapist, you definitely want to go to school for that.
Yeah.
You definitely want to, you want to do that.
Yeah. So I definitely found your YouTube channel. I took a peek at your YouTube channel. I thought it was so cool. You shared your experience with, getting your own plastic surgery and everything. Like, what was your experience like overall? Like, were you nervous? Like, how were your results afterwards too?
Girl, I was so nervous and it hurt. I was so nervous because just being, put to sleep and getting a surgery like that, I was nervous. I'm not going to hold you. But when I got there, I was like, I don't pay this money. I am doing it. It hurt. Okay. So it hurt. I always tell people it hurt. And it also let me see what my clients deal with. My clients come to me to get surgery, but I am massaging them. I don't know exactly how you feel.
Right.
I know now how you feel.
Yeah.
I know now. But I enjoyed it. Some people are like, well, why did you tape it? And I said, because I want people to understand I'm a real person, just like everybody else. And people need to know that this surgery is not a game. Sir, you have to be healthy. Mm-hmm. You cannot be smoking and drinking and all of that stuff. And you're talking about you're going to have surgery. You cannot do that. So I wanted people to see that, this is no joke. I had it done. Would I have it done again? Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. Because the results was fire. So it was worth it. It's just the healing process. The healing process is very, very, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's expensive.
Mm.
But it was good.
Well, you already have kids. You already have kids. I said you already have kids. So it's kind of like when people say when you have kids, they remember how hard it was and how much it hurt, but they still go on to have like five more.
Exactly, girl. And that's what surgery, like I remember the pain, but it was like it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And people always ask me, well, do you recommend people get surgery? And I say, if you want to get surgery, get surgery. If you don't, you don't. Because I've been Team Natural for a lot of years before I had surgery last year. So it's a personal choice. But if you do that choice, just know that you have to take care of your body and you have to get your post-op massages. You have to wear your faja. Like, you have to be Team Surgery. And when you get it.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any advice for people as far as getting surgery, a way that they can like mentally prepare themselves for what they're about to go through?
I really think that they should go. I think that surgeons should do a mental like evaluation on some people, to be honest with you. And the reason why I say that is because some girls get surgery for themselves, which I did. I wanted it. I got it. I'm good with it. I loved it. Some people get it for other people, which I don't believe that that's good to do.
Right.
Because when you get it for other people, they don't have to live in your body forever. You do.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes your results are not going to be what you want, and now you're beating yourself up about it.
Yeah.
So I tell people, hey, before you get surgery, are you mentally prepared? Are you also prepared to eat healthy? Are you also prepared to wear the faja for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared for that? Because if you're not prepared for that, I don't want you wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be wasting your money. And I also don't want you to be in deeper depression just in case you don't like your results.
Right. Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Not liking the results.
Yeah, you may not even like your results. So I feel like mentally, you got to prepare yourself. You got to work out. You got to take some time to yourself. You got to meditate. You need to watch videos. Like, you need to really do your research before you get surgery. I'm a strong believer of that.
Yeah. Are there some essential items, maybe like top 3 or 5 things that people should have in their possession before they go get surgery to, for their post-op needs, I guess?
Oh, yes. So number one is your faja.
Okay.
You're gonna need a faja. You're gonna need definitely your compression socks, because your compression socks help you not get blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
So that is important as well. And I would definitely say You need to have your foams and boards. And those are things that you put into your faja to help bring in your waste and to help the swelling go down.
Okay.
And number four, I know you said three, but number four, you need to have a meal plan because you cannot eat a lot of salt. As soon as you eat salt, you will swell. So you need to have your meals thoroughly planned out.
Right. So now, like, what kind of services do you provide for people post-op, just like the body contouring?
So we do body contouring. I also do the massages, so the post-op massages. I also do stretch mark and scar camouflaging, which we can camouflage the scars, the lipo scars or stretch marks with pigment. I also do intimate bleaching as well for the skin. And then I also teach classes, and that's all I do.
I love that. I love the whole, the camouflage and the scars. Cause girl, like, let me tell you, it's this girl that I watch on YouTube and like I'm hooked on her now. She has like lifestyle fashion content, but the way I found her is that she had like a BBL video and possessed, I don't even want a BBL, but I said, I'm just so intrigued by it that I was like totally hooked onto her journey and like kind of stuck with her ever since. I don't even know how YouTube even suggested that video to me. I don't know. What kind of surgeries are people getting that come to you afterwards? Like what are they getting? Lipo?
So they're getting 360 lipo, which is lipo around the whole abdomen area. They're getting BBLs. They get inner thigh lipo as well. They get arm lipo. They get chin lipo. They may get their nose done. They may get fat taken from here. That's about it. That's what they're getting. So they're getting the worst. And back in the day, surgery was so like hush hush. Now everybody is like, I got surgery, girl. Who you went to?
Yes, it used to be so hush hush. And also, I feel like it's a lot more accessible to people now, where it used to be a lot more expensive. I don't know the prices or anything, but it seems like it's just a lot more accessible to like everyday people, whereas you just see like celebrities getting surgery and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, that was to everybody. And I tell people just this time, like in this era we are, people are getting money. So they're able to afford it. They're able to afford it. So they get it done. I mean, hey.
Yeah. Why do you think some people choose to go overseas for surgery instead of just saying stateside?
Because when you go overseas, they actually can take out more fat and they can do more things. They can do more procedures at one time. Oh, so here they can only take out four liters of fat. But when you go overseas, they can take out more. You can possibly get a BBL, your lipo done, your chin done, your arms done, and your legs done. Here you got 4 liters, so you're probably going to get BBL and lipo. You're going to have to, and maybe you might can get arm lipo depending on what your BMI is. So that's why they go over there. And over there they stay longer. They stay about 14 days over there. The care is completely different and it's cheaper.
I understand now, especially if you can get more fat taken out and more things done, that kind of minimizes like the amount of time that you have to go under the knife.
Yeah, and if it's for a cheaper price, they're going to do it.
I can't argue.
Yeah, that's why they go.
Okay. Are there any other things aside from not drinking, aside from eating right, are there any other things that people can do pre-op to kind of set them up for a better recovery once they get out of surgery?
Yes, they can actually do body contouring. So how we do the skin tightening, cativation, laser lipo, you can get all of that done to break down the actual fat for you and to get your body prepared. You could get wood therapy, which is contouring the body with Colombian wood. That will help break down the fat for you and get your body prepared. Plus, when you add that with working out and all of that stuff, you get the best results.
Okay, I love that.
So that's what I tell people that's what you should do. I have people that come for pre-op and post-op. So
What are some common things that people don't realize what happened to them, I guess, after surgery, or some things that they don't know?
they don't know about the swelling. So you can't go have Chick-fil-A or, you know, whatever. You cannot go do that. They don't know that you do need massages. You cannot just stop at the massages after you get surgery. You need to go on. You need to keep going because your body is moldable for about a year. So you need to keep going and having your massages because that's just the best thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. People also don't know that when you do get surgery, you have to make sure that, you know, your stitches dissolve. You have to make sure that you don't have faja burns. Like, it's a lot that goes into this. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to prepare.
Yeah. What is intimacy like after surgery? how long you gotta wait to not burst your stitches?
My doctor told me 2 weeks, but some girls wait 6 weeks, but you could get pregnant after you have surgery because you just look different, you know? So you have to be prepared. So I tell people, like, girl, make sure you're on birth control. The intimacy is great afterwards. You know, it's great for women. I mean, their men love it, but don't get pregnant unless you, you know.
Yeah, that's a common thing. People don't realize that.
They don't.
Yeah, you look extra fine.
Yeah, if you ain't had none back there and now you got some back there, girl.
That is so funny. What are like some things that can go wrong post-op? Because I think a lot of people just focus on the end result of just the way that they want to look, but not necessarily like the healing journey and things that go into them healing so they can look the way they want to look, you know?
Yeah. So something that could go wrong is if you have a faja that is not, doesn't have the correct compression that you need, it could cause your buttocks to go down, your hips to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't realize that. If you don't have the correct faja on, or let's say you're not getting your massages, they don't realize that you could get fibrosis or seromas. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that, you know? So, and you know how some people's stomach looks like a wave after surgery or looks kind of hard. Yeah. That's fibrosis. So they don't understand that. So yeah, post-op is so important. It's so important.
Yeah.
It'll actually help your results.
Mm-hmm. Are there any pre-existing conditions that some people have that can make the post-op or the healing journey a little bit more difficult, more challenging?
Not really, because before you have surgery, you have to actually go and get your, you have to go like get your EKG checked, your blood pressure, mm-hmm. and things like that. So before you even get surgery, they make sure that you're all good to go because those things will affect your healing process.
Are there some people who choose not to go into like a post-op facility and just take care of themselves or something?
There are people that do that, and you should, you can take care of yourself. You can't have your homegirl to take care of you, but it's good to also go to a recovery house. Or like I did, I actually went to Airbnb and then I had a nurse come in to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause those first 24 hours, you need somebody there to take care of you because mm-hmm. you don't want your hemo to go down and then you have to go to the hospital or something like that.
Yes.
So I always recommend people don't just have, unless they have the experience and the credentials, I think that you should have a nurse at least come in and check you, not your homegirl just taking care of you, you know what I'm saying? Or your mom. If they don't have the credentials or know what to look for, because healing, I've heard of girls fainting before.
Right.
You know, whoever take care of them, they don't know what to do. So yeah.
Wow.
I recommend those first 24 hours you need somebody that's experienced.
Right. Mm-hmm. How long was your recovery? How long did you have to stay at the Airbnb?
I stayed there for 5 days. I was in Miami, so I stayed there for 5 days. And then I came home back to Atlanta. The flight was a lot. because of the air, of the pressure from the plane when you're in the air and you have on these compression socks, and then you're not supposed to sit down, but you have to sit down. So that was a little shaky.
Yeah.
But when I got home, I was fine.
Okay. How often do you get men that you have to service that have plastic surgery?
Girl, all the time. All the time. Men, I got men that get lipo. I got men that get BBLs. Yes, they get the chin lipo. Okay. You will have a man, I will have, you know, a man come in and I would not think that he's coming to my studio, but then they walk in and they say they got surgery. And I'm like, oh, okay. So men are getting it. Please. Or they get their abs done. They get their chest done. So...
See, and that's what I want to see. That's what I would like to see more of. I would love to see more men like talking about plastic surgery, because we know, you know, women, like, we're, I don't want to say we're vain, but we know that women are into their looks.
Absolutely.
And men are into their looks just as much as women are, but they don't talk about it. But I want some more men to come out and talk about this stuff.
I think they should, because you will see a man and you're like, oh my God, he's cut. He got nice abs, you know, everything. But really, he has surgery done.
Oh my God.
So it is men out there. And a lot of them, you know, are hush hush. Because typically they think that it's only women should get surgery. So they don't want to come out and say it. But a lot of these men out here are definitely having surgery, for sure. Hands down.
That is funny. Well, I have a Never Have I Ever segment on the podcast, kind of like the drinking game. And you kind of already mentioned it already, but I want to know if this has happened to you. I'm going to give you a Never Have I Ever statement. And if this has happened, share the story behind it. Or if it hasn't happened to you and you know somebody has happened to you, share their story or how people can like prevent this from happening or be more mindful, I guess.
Okay.
So the statement I have for you is, never have I ever had a client faint while I was caring for them. Has that ever happened?
It has happened. It has happened. And what's so crazy, we were in the room, me and the young lady, and typically if I am massaging them, and let's say, because your incisions are open, so you have fluid coming out. So I'm massaging them and the doctor gives them pain medicine, but they need to eat. So when they're about to faint, you kind of know, because they start swaying back and forth. And when I'm massaging them, I tell them, don't look at me massaging you. Like, I have a plant, look at the plant. So she starts swaying. I'm like, God, here we go. So as she's falling, I always try to put my leg under their butt, but not on their butt, because you don't want to mess up, you know, what they've had done. And she's falling. So I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of falling with her. And then I had my employee, I said, go get her ride. So her boyfriend or her husband came in. Girl, he was panicking. So my employee's panicking. The lady's panicking. I'm like, okay, I need everybody to relax.
Yes.
I'm like, you do this. So yes, I've had that happen to me before. Someone fainted. Yes, I've had someone almost faint. And her friend was out here. She was calling her friend like, help me. I'm like, Lord.
Oh my God. Yes. So are they fainting because of the pain? Are they fainting because, like, what is, like, they're seeing their blood? Like, what is going on?
It's a lot of things. Some of them, because they looking down and they see their blood. Some of them take too much medicine or do whatever before they come, because they don't want to feel the pain of being massaged. But now you've taken all these things, and I have an intake form, but sometimes people don't tell the truth. So then once they start to feel pain or something, I'm like, what did you do? So it's from a number of things, or not eating before they take their medicine.
Yeah.
They'll start to faint. But what we do is we just have them smell, you know, witch hazel and other things to smell, and it brings them right back. So yeah.
Wow. And I asked that question because the girl I was watching on YouTube was in recovery. And I think she stood up too quick. I think she said they told her that you're supposed to sit at the bed for a little bit and mm-hmm. then stand up. But she stood like right on up to go to the bathroom and she went right back on down.
Yes, yes. And in a story, when I had my surgery, my nurse told me I could take a shower. I'm like, thank you. Ooh, I want one. She told me not to stay in there too long, but the water was feeling so good to my body to the point where I felt myself like, okay, are you about to faint? And so I brought myself like, okay, get out of the shower. So it's a couple of things that can happen to you. Wow. Surgery, after that first day and that next day is no joke.
Wow. That is, I'm fascinated, but what exactly, aside from like the blood, what is the fluid that's coming out? Because I always see people with the little tubes coming out of their incisions. Like, what is it?
So that's like fluid. It could be fat, you know, leftover, and all that's going into the drains and blood. Mm-hmm. All of that's going into there and it's coming out until the incision closes. Once the incision closes, we're just still massaging them and then it's just going out when they use the bathroom.
Gotcha.
So that's what's coming out of you. Because lipo is a major, major surgery. Mm-hmm. So with it being a major surgery, you're going to have blood and all that stuff still coming out of you.
Yeah, yeah. What should people look for in post-op care?
I definitely look to see how long the person has been doing it. Being that this is such a lucrative business, people will jump into post-op like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you cannot do that. They definitely need to see how long they've been in business, how many clients they have had. I feel like they should call the person and be able to do a consultation before they book with the person, just mm-hmm. so they can understand if the person knows the lingo. They also need to see what plans do they have after surgery. Do you sell fajas? Do you do body contouring? Like, what are my next steps before actually paying, you know, a person to do your post-op?
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's jump into education, because I know we mentioned you do teach people. Yes. So when did you step into the education realm?
Girl, I stepped into it, I want to say late 2016, 2017, I taught my first class of body contouring. Okay. I actually had a girl reach out to me and say, can you teach me what you're doing? And I'm like, really? You want me to teach you? Mm-hmm. And I have been teaching ever since. I probably taught over 1,000 women and men together. I've gone to schools and I've taught, you know, I've done demos, mm-hmm. I've done online training. I have a team in Colombia that does training for my ladies. So I have been teaching for a minute now.
That's amazing. So you just teach body contouring. What else do you teach?
I teach intimate bleaching, which is helping hyperpigmentation. Mm-hmm. On men or women. I have both people that come. I teach stretch mark camouflage. I also teach marketing and branding, how to rebrand yourself. I also teach so many things. I used to teach facials, like advanced facials. Mm-hmm. I used to teach lashes. So I've taught it all.
That's exciting. What kind of camouflaging of the stretch marks are people getting? Because I feel like over the years, people are like, proud of their stretch marks now. Like, yes. It used to be like a thing that you would hide and everything, but now seeing people like, yes, look at my stretch marks.
People are proud. So people really like, especially if you've had a baby, and you have a lot of stretch marks on your stomach, they kind of want, you know, those camouflage. Also women that have the line, if they get their breast lifted, they want that camouflage. Mm-hmm. If they have lipo scars, they want that camouflage, because some people don't want people to know they had surgery. Mm-hmm. So I do that as well. Women that sometimes have stretch marks on their breast here, they want that camouflage also. Okay. So those are the main things.
Okay. And these Colombia trips that you're doing, I know you're taking groups of people over to Colombia and like mm-hmm. giving them the rundown. Like, they are blessed to have you. They are so blessed to have you. How did you build those connections over in Colombia?
So I'm the type of person, if I pay somebody a vendor money, for products, I need to be able to pull up on you. I need to see your factory. I need to see who I'm giving my money to. So my team, I was able to get in contact with vendors to help me get my team together. Which was good for me. And I go to Colombia. I've had my teeth done. I haven't had any work done over there, but I have had my teeth done over there. Mm-hmm. So I've been a lot of times. My faja connects are over there. And it just, in my mind, I'm like, well, people ask me, Crystal, why you go to Colombia so much? So I'm like, girl, come with me so I can show you. So I can show you. And I just had the idea one day, like, girl, bring ladies over here so they can get trained. And it's just been going ever since. Now I have people that take people over there now, like my students, and then I have other people who started taking people. So it just started a big, you know, domino effect.
Yes, yes. And when they go over there, like, what is the experience that they should expect from you?
Oh, it's the Colombian experience. We're going to do training. So we do ice therapy, training, wood therapy. We do post-op massage. When we're over there, they get to see Colombia. They get to go to vendors. So when we go to the vendors, they actually get their content. They get to see how I plan a trip, because it's not just thinking like, we're going to go here and then go on a trip. No, it's a lot of work that goes into it. So I teach them how to do that. We have a nice dinner. We go out so they can see Colombia, you know, at night. Mm-hmm. And then we mastermind. So I feel like in these trips, you have to mastermind with people. Let me help you. Ask me questions. Let me help you get your studio or spa together. Yes. So it's the whole experience when we go over there. Yes. It's a whole experience.
Yes, yes. I love that. I know one of the things you're showing people too is how to start up their own like post-op kind of business and everything. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's expensive, or what are like the startup costs that people can expect to like invest to get started?
Oh, so it depends on how grand you want to go. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, you know, in Colombia, we don't live in Colombia, so it's a lot of regulations that you have to go through. And this, you have to find somewhere to do it. You have to find a team. So, you know, you could spend 10 to 20,000. It depends, or more. Here, if you do one in the States, it's a lot of regulations here. You have to have the correct insurance. You have to find a house. So this can run you 20 to 30,000 or less, depending on how you do it. Because it can be cheaper. It just depends on how you do it. Yeah. But it's a very lucrative business. However, they are cracking down on people that don't have what they're supposed to have. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, be cautious, make sure you have your stuff in a row, because you will get hit with a fine.
Right, right. And they should, because that's a serious thing.
Yeah, people could die.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. What are like do you know any of the statistics of people who actually have surgery and then like in their recovery, it's like fatal?
I don't know the statistics, but I do know there have been deaths in other countries when women go out there, because remember, they, you know, can take out a lot of fat, or just who knows what type of procedure that they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. I like that it's being regulated more, because sometimes surgeons will be doing 10 girls a day.
Ooh, wow.
And it's like, how are you doing 10 girls a day?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of people that have died, unfortunately, but it's a lot of women that have healed fine.
Right.
And they go back and they get more and more and more rounds. And so it depends.
Yeah, you said you would go back again. You're going to go back and do something different, or just like to maintain what you already have?
I wouldn't get my butt done again. But I, you know, I would get arm lipo, chin lipo. Like, I would definitely do that.
Right.
That's it, because I know what to expect.
Yeah, because when you do lipo, the fat doesn't grow back, right? Something like that?
It doesn't grow back. It could grow back some, but it doesn't grow back. It does go to other parts of your body. So it can go to your arm, it can go to your thighs now.
Gotcha.
So that's why doctors really want people to have a low BMI.
Mm-hmm.
Getting this service done. They definitely want that, because you're going to have to get rounds again if you don't lose the proper weight.
Yeah, yeah. What's a common myth in your industry, or what should practitioners know before entering into this industry, before getting started?
they should know that this industry is a good industry, but you got to be ready. It's not for the, you know, for the you can't be sensitive. You cannot, because you have women in here that are in pain. They are in pain. So you can't be sensitive if they have an attitude with you. You got to know that once you start, you're going to have a lot of clients. You need to be educated on what you're doing. If you're not educated on what you're doing, do not get into this industry. You have to know, because if someone has an infection that's happening, you have to know where to send them. You have to be a people person. You have to be a people person. You're dealing with so many different people, men and women. So before getting into the industry, I tell people you have to make sure that you can check those blanks. Mm-hmm. You can check those off.
I saw too that one of the things you're showing people how to do is to get influencers, collaborating with influencers to like promote this. Like, what are some of the benefits of collaborating with influencers in the business that you have?
So the benefits are, you always want somebody talking about your business when you're not. So I love influencers. Girl, sell my product for me. Let me get your audience. Like, that's what I tell people. Influencers are not a bad thing. That can actually help your business, daily life. If it's an influencer that people can trust, if it's an influencer that's going to get you your money back double that you pay, that's a great influencer. And I tell people that, because if you need to have referrals, you need to have influencers, you need to have your family talking about your business, that's going to bring your revenue in. Mm-hmm. And influencers are sharing their platform. So girl, yes, share your platform with me. Okay. Please. That's what I tell people. Please. So influencers are amazing. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I guess, like, how do people choose the influencer? Is it basically off of the aesthetic that they have or the lifestyle that the influencer has?
It could be, yes, it could be off a number of things. The aesthetic. If I'm selling you a product that women mostly use, I don't want an influencer that only targets to men. That's not going to help my turnover rate in my business. That's not going to help me gain money. If you don't respond, if you're an influencer that has people coming to your pages and commenting and you don't respond, that's not good, because if they're asking, where did I get the product from? You can't even tell them.
Right.
You're not even telling them. I look at people's followers. Girl, I'm nosy when it comes to my business. In real life, I'm not. In my business, I'm nosy. I need to see your followers. Are they fake followers? Are they real followers? You know, are they mostly men? What are your insights? It's a whole thing about it. So,
got you. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I love this. So, Crystal, what are you working on your legacy to be with your business or just in life?
Girl, my legacy. I want to be known as the number one body contour post stop maven in the world. Like, I want to be that girl. That's what I want. I want my daughter to, I want to be able to sell my business. I want my daughter to see, like, wow, my mom did all of this. My mom left me with this business. Or, you know, I want my products to be in stores across the nation, across the world. I want to have a Faja factory in Colombia, DR, like wherever. Like, I want my legacy to live so strong to where it helps generations and generations. That's my legacy for sure.
Anything else coming up next for you?
Yes. So I have a Faja line coming out. I'm super excited about that. We also have a podcast coming out as well in the year, which talks about surgery and things like that. So I'm super excited about that. I'm implementing more courses so people can just go on their computer and take a course, you know, digital products that works.
Yes.
So those are the main things I'm working on right now. And I'm super excited about it. I mean, I think this is very liberating to be a woman right now, thinking of these ideas, how you have your podcast, like really making it happen. I think it's very liberating for us. So excited.
Yeah, so excited. This is, oh my gosh, I just learned so much. Like, my brain is about to explode. Like, this is so much fun for me, because I always tell people, if I could do it over again, I would definitely have been a plastic surgeon. Like, I would have been, I could do that. I love watching plastic surgery stuff on TV. I like watching Botched, like all of those type of shows, even like Dr. Pimple Popper. I would do that type of job. I love this type of stuff. So this is like such a treat for me. I love it.
I'm glad. And it's so much in this industry. It's so much like to learn and to know. So I feel you.
Yes. Well, before you go, before I let you go, I have to ask you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions.
Okay. So
whatever comes to your mind first, just, you know, spit it out.
Okay.
All right. What are the top three keys to your success so far?
It has been definitely consistency, not being scared, and being a go-getter for sure.
Yeah. How do you measure your success?
Oh, I you know what? I'm always measuring my success to where I can't stay stagnant. I'm always trying to one up myself. So if I've done something, then I'm like, oh, I need to do this. Oh, I can't get too comfortable. So I'm always measuring myself. Like once one thing is completed, now I want to do something else. Now I want to do something bigger. It's crazy.
Yeah, I love that. At least you're one upping yourself. You're not trying to like, you know, compete. You know what I'm saying?
I'm always one upping myself. Yeah.
I love that. Yes. What's the best advice you received or a piece of advice that just always stuck with you?
The worst thing anybody can tell, well, if someone tells you no, that's not the worst thing that they can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you no, but one person will tell you yes. So that shouldn't stop your dreams. That shouldn't stop what you're trying to do. Never let no deter you from what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be a yes, or you make the yes. You make the yes.
Yeah, you make it happen, for sure. Yeah. What piece of advice would you give to another, I guess, body contourist? I don't know the term, a body contourist or post-op practitioner who is just not seeing the results that they want to see with their business right now. And they're thinking like, maybe they should just quit.
I would tell them to keep going and to reevaluate their business. If it is a service that's not working for them, then look at your services that are working for you. Where I'm at now, I did not start like this. A lot of people that are in the beauty industry, where we are now, it was not like this the whole time.
Right.
So you have to keep grinding. And if something doesn't work, girl, do something else in the industry. Do something else. If you don't want to do services, sell a product. Or, you know, or vice versa. It's just up to you. So never give up and never measure somebody's success to your success. Because you don't know if their success is real. You don't know.
Period. What's a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends in Beauty community?
A resource, I guess I would say like email and text messages. If we consider that as a resource, because you can text and email people all day. I know you get emails and texts from stores all the time, but that keeps your business on people's mind. So that's a resource that I love.
Okay. I love it. And the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is.
Okay. My name is Crystal Wilson, and the key to longevity is just being that girl and believing in yourself. That is the key. When you believe in yourself and your business, you're gonna take your business to the top. You have to believe in yourself. So you gotta be that girl or that man.
I love it. Yes. Before you go, share your social media. Or just, you know, however you want people to connect with you and get these classes, go on these trips, get, you know, some services.
Yes. So you all can contact me on Instagram. I am CEO Chris. Or you can contact me on Facebook at Lux Beauty and Body Studio. And also on Facebook, we have the CEO Beauty Club, where we're always dropping gems to get to a bigger bag. So you can join the club. Please do. And you are able to contact me that way. You can DM me. You can email me at info@luxbeautyandbody.com. I try to answer my DMs and I try to answer my emails very frequently. So I'm very personable. I'm sweet. I'm nice. So you don't worry about contacting me.
Yes, thank you so much, Crystal, for doing this.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This was good, girl. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. Share this episode with at least one friend in beauty and subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts so that other friends in beauty can find this show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.